Hey, everybody.
I'm Liz Nolly.
And I'm Carrie Thomas.
And welcome to the Just Us with Liz and Carrie podcast, live from D9 in Trenton, part two.
Yes, we are still here. And we have another very special guest with us today. Do you want to do the honors or am I? That's me.
That's you.
We're going straight into our
guest.
We're not even going to banter today.
No bantering because we have a very special guest today.
Okay. Our guest is a powerhouse in public service and a leader shaping justice in real time. Jennifer Davenport is New Jersey's Attorney General, serving as the state's chief law enforcement officer since 2026 after being nominated by Governor Mikey Sherrill and unanimously confirmed by the state Senate. In her role, she oversees more than 42,000 law enforcement personnel and 8,000 employees, leading work that impacts everything from public safety to consumer protection and civil rights. Her focus is clear: reducing gun violence, combating human trafficking, protecting children both online and offline, and making life more affordable while defending residents' rights. Before stepping into this role, she served as New Jersey's first assistant attorney general and as an assistant U.S. attorney, where she led major prosecutions and helped train the next generation of lawyers. She is a graduate of DeSales University and Seton Hall Law and a proud mom of two living in Monmouth County. We're excited that General Davenport will be joining us on this special edition of Just Us podcast with Liz and Carrie in D9 in Trenton. Welcome, Attorney General Jennifer Davenport.
Hello.
Hi. Our second serious.
I know, right? Hi, nice to meet you.
Today.
Yeah. I love listening to podcasts, so now I get to be on one.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for being here, General Davenport. It's so
Please call
to
me
meet
Jen.
You. You know what? Your team told me you would say that. Like, verbatim. Like, verbatim. I was like, no.
We're being serious.
It's okay. Serious adjacent.
I can be serious anyway. As a Jen.
Okay.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit, Attorney General, what attracted you into a career in public service of all things as an attorney? And I mean, you could do anything. How did you, what drew you to a life in public service?
So I grew up down in Wildwood in Cape May County, mm-hmm. and my parents were very much involved in all things community. Mm-hmm. When you live in a very small town, it's a small town in the winter, it's a very large town in the summer.
Right.
But my high school, I had 69 kids in my high school class, so it's very
Whoa.
Small.
Okay.
And everything was focused on the community. And my dad is a retired but career firefighter, so he had a job in public service. And my mom, through the work that she had always done, was always with different municipal alliances and community projects and doing all the different parts of how to really just work with all aspects of community life and community giving. So that's just what I grew up. It wasn't like, they have to do this. It was just part of their work.
With the parents.
Definitely.
I keep seeing that trend.
Yeah. That's definitely true. I always say, I hardly ever miss an election, to vote. And even when I was in college, I did my absentee ballot because I went to school in Virginia and all of the things. And that's because I say there's three reasons why I always vote: my mom and my dad and Fannie Lou Hamer. So you do see it at home. Mm-hmm. It's in the DNA. Yeah. It's the example. And I think the message out to all of us in the room, because we have almost 400 people registered today, is, our kids, the communities, people are watching us. So follow your example can inspire that next generation of leadership. I love it.
Yeah, and especially if it's just part of how you go about your day.
Yeah.
And you some things can be special and you want to make sure that people see why it's important and your family sees why it's important. But if it's just as natural as getting up and running out to do whatever else it is, it just becomes part of the fabric of who you are. You said the absentee ballot, it just brought back a memory. I would go, you know, to go to college and my dad would keep, every time I would call him, did you mail the absentee ballot?
I love it. Good.
Did you mail it back yet?
But I forgot about that.
Yeah. Did you mail it in yet? I'm like, yeah. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I did. I hope I did.
I love that. And how do you, let me see. Well, you're the new attorney general. And what are your priorities for the state of New Jersey? Because we're here, we have a very robust agenda. We're advocating for things like housing, for keeping families together, and if they're separated by all the immigration stuff that's going on right now. We're obviously advocating for the right to vote, to preserve it and expand it. And in the past, we've done a lot of work with your office and with your predecessor around things like educating our foundations on how to, you know, be compliant and things. So you have a huge range of responsibilities, but I know you can't boil the ocean as much as we would like for you to, or maybe you want to yourself. But what are your, like, maybe top priorities that you would like to accomplish during your tenure as Attorney General?
Yeah, so as you said, the Department of Law and Public Safety, we have 24 different divisions.
Wow.
So we really touch the lives of every single person each and every day in multiple ways. So I have identified priorities, but I will say that all of these divisions are constantly boiling everything, right?
Right.
Because there are so many ways that we can be advocates and also make sure that the thread that goes through all of these is public safety.
Public safety.
And that comes in many different ways. How do you feel safe? Do you feel safe where you live? Do you feel safe in your community? And it doesn't always have to be because of violence or something else. Safety comes from affordability. And like you were talking about, are your civil rights
security.
And
fair
and all
housing.
Yes. So, Carrie, you did a very nice job before summing up the priorities for the office, and I appreciate that. But to expand upon them a little bit, I loved how you put them. I'm like, gosh, that's a very succinct way to do it. I never do that. But combating gun violence is a priority. We have seen the levels in New Jersey go down and decrease over the last several years. And it's all due to the all-in approach that we treat gun violence as a public health crisis and making sure that we don't just lean in on the enforcement side and, of course, the intelligence sharing and many of the partnerships that we have, but also invest in the community-based violence intervention work that we've been doing for such a long time, the victim-centered approach, making sure that we bring in those community partners to have that. And then we also lean in and really work on the civil enforcement piece of it, which is bringing gun manufacturers and those who try to sell things in violation of our law into the state.
Oh, wow.
So if it's large capacity magazines or ghost guns or switches for different firearms that should not be sold or allowed, we bring suit there as well. So that's like an all-in approach when it comes to combating gun violence. And then with the World Cup coming up in just over 60 days, combating human trafficking is top of mind. It's going to be legacy beyond that as well. We're making sure that we're doing everything we can. Just this morning, we hosted survivors at the office with many of our law enforcement partners, our county prosecutor partners and chiefs of police and the many different divisions that we have that touch upon this. Again, trauma-informed, survivor-centered, and trying to hear from them, how can we do this better? Right. We understand how we do things, but we also want to make sure that we're reaching victims and making sure that we can save every single person we can save. And then protecting children's rights and safety really comes from making sure that each child in our state can really fulfill their potential, regardless of their zip code, and think beyond their zip code. I heard someone say that on a panel yesterday. I was over at the National Action Network Convention. Pastor Bartley is a partner and invited us over. And we were listening to a panel, and she works with a not-for-profit, and she said, like, beyond your zip code. And I said, I love that, right? Because whatever it is, you know, thinking, how can I do maybe more than what I would have expected to
right.
do?
Right, right, exactly.
But when we think about protecting children's rights and safety from our perspective, it's really online, because we've fought back and we have many suits right now against big tech for the mental health and other real challenges that come with technology in our youth, and also physical safety and making sure that we're doing everything we possibly can to keep our kids safe, both in school and otherwise. And then affordability is a priority, keeping in line with Governor Sherrill's mission of affordability. When it comes to our Division of Consumer Affairs and consumer protection, fraud, price gouging, like you
right.
name it.
Yeah.
I mean, that, you know, cuts across all of our many divisions. On the first day back in January, I asked all of our divisions, give us three things in your core mission you can do with public safety and three things in your mission that you can do with affordability. Because I think it's really important for us to think about these things, but then think about all the different ways that we might be able to have synergy.
Well, hand in hand,
yeah.
right? Because, like, if you live someplace where people can afford to eat, sleep, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. just live,
right.
it's a safer environment for yeah. all of us.
That's right.
Better.
You feel better, your mental health is better, your physical yeah. health is better.
And they'll care more about what's happening around them.
That's right.
And about each other.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. yeah. And the priority of making sure that we're protecting our rights against the attacks coming out of Washington, it's probably what you see most from our office. It doesn't mean that that's what we're doing the most necessarily, mm-hmm. but it does make probably the news more than anything else. And that really comes down to any time this administration is doing something unlawful or unconstitutional, and then it affects and harms New Jerseyans, we fight back.
Thank
and
you.
A lot of that has to do with...
I have to clap
yeah.
for that. Sorry,
yeah.
not sorry.
Yeah.
But
yeah, right.
Thank you.
And a lot of it has to do with protecting our not just our civil rights and our rights as a state when it comes to our own laws and whatnot, but also the money that comes into the state and the funding that comes into the state for victims, for law enforcement, for emergency relief. Like, you name it, we're fighting back.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's such a broad agenda, but a lot of the areas that you all focus on align with what we as the Divine Nine focus on and what we're out there working on and serving our communities and strengthening. And we've, over the last like 4 years, we've developed a really great working relationship with your office.
Yeah.
Shout out to Ray Royster and Yolanda Melville and Whitney.
Yep.
And your whole team have been amazing partners, and we've had an ongoing dialogue with your office and around a lot of these issues. So I'd just like to hear from you. What do you think are some of the areas for us to partner and work together going forward potentially?
Yeah, so I was in the office from 18 to 22, and then I left, and now I'm back as
right, right.
So for me, my first exposure to the state AG's office was when I came in 18, because I had worked most of my career in the federal government. And again, I was so blown away with the scope of this department and just how many different areas. And I think the best way that we can be effective partners is to listen, number one, right? Like, we do not have all the answers, nor would we want to do anything on our own. So getting out in forums like this, or more likely like on the phone, just like, hey, we have this, what do you think, or can you come to this? It's not just me. I'm so heartened to see like all of the many different divisions from our department who are here
yes.
today doing the roundtables and doing the discussions, right? We have Division on Civil Rights and mm-hmm. Criminal Justice and State Police and OHSP, and I'm sure I'm forgetting some, Division of Consumer Affairs, right? All the different areas where we're doing this all day long. That's where the work happens.
Mm.
So when I first started, and we had our community engagement, I think, person, right? Not the team that Ray, Whitney, and Corelli now have formed, but it was one person. Here's a meeting we set up, or whatever it may be. And it wasn't for a lack of trying. It was just a different type of structure.
And bandwidth, too.
And it's bandwidth.
Yeah, yeah.
But now seeing how we push all of this out, like, they're the party planners, and they're out there every single day talking to folks and making sure that we get the right people at the table. And the work that our community engagement, another shout out to them, do is so vitally important and so remarkable, but they're bringing the other people with them.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what we need to see. Yeah. It needs to go out, because every single person who works for the department should be a community engagement expert as well, because right. we can't do it without the community. So I love what it's become. It's really exciting to see how that's developed under their leadership. And I'm just happy to move it forward, because I think if we're not listening to what's happening in our communities, or what's happening from the leaders within our communities, like all of you and the people who work in various different, it may not be even through your work, it may be through committees or other types of partnerships that you have, that's how we learn how to get what's done right for
yeah.
you.
Yeah, no, I love that you said that, because, you know, the people who are here are the action takers. They're out there doing the work, and they're writing the letters and making the phone calls and driving people to the polls and doing all of that. So we're very excited to build on that relationship that the Divine Nine has with your office. Yeah. And I want to say Yolanda was here yesterday mm-hmm. talking to the young people, and we had various people here today and stuff like that. So thank you for empowering them and giving us access and supporting them to be the bridge, because it takes people on the inside as well as the outside to do that. And it starts with leadership. So I just wanted to say thank you for that.
I'm inheriting what is pretty amazing, and we're just going to make it better with your ideas. So.
Awesome. Well, we've got 400 people out there with ideas.
That's great.
So your phone will start ringing, so get ready, Ray. But let's pivot a little bit. So I know you're from South Jersey,
mm-hmm.
and you have a beautiful family. And I asked our previous guest, how do you do all of the things? Like, how do you hold it down at home? How do you hold it down as the AG? How do you do it all?
I don't do it all.
You don't.
Well, I'll tell you that. I have two daughters. They're 14 and 11.
Ooh.
And I forgot that one of them had spring break this week. So that's how I'm not doing it all well.
Hey, that's real.
That's real. That's real.
You being honest.
Oh, you're only going to get honest.
I don't think you're the only person that has been about that life.
Yeah. My very good friend and former acting attorney general, Andrew Bruck, once said to me, he says, oh God, here comes another Davenport truth bomb. But it's true. Like, I'm just going to tell you, like, I am not doing it all well.
The Davenport truth bomb.
Yep.
I love that.
Yep. So you do it with help, right? You do it with the neighbor that you call and say, hey, I totally forgot Josie doesn't have school this week. Are you around to pick up this and do that? I also think
having a good network.
Having a good network of friends and
community around
is really, really helpful.
Yeah.
And also knowing that, giving yourself like the grace to say,
yes,
I can't do everything great, so I'm just going to do the best I can. And a part of it also is a little bit of like compartmentalizing. When I'm at work, I'm trying just to think about this.
Yeah.
And I'll deal with the other stuff later.
It will find its time.
That's right.
Right. I always, like, there's a saying, how do you eat the elephant one bite at a time?
I've heard that.
Right?
Gross,
like,
but it's true.
So you can't,
Journey
of a Thousand Steps, it's just one step. Like, you can't do it all at the same time. But I love the idea of giving ourselves grace, because, you know, like, everybody in this room is a multitasking, overachieving mm-hmm. professional, whether it's their paid job or their D9 job or their volunteer
job.
And, you know, for real, we always joke, like, okay, I got to go do the job that pays me now. So, you know, and everything. And a lot of times we forget to give ourselves grace and extend that. And sometimes we're better at extending that grace to others than we are to ourselves. So I love that you said
that. I think that's right. Yeah, it's something that I've kind of learned as I've gotten older. But I don't remember who, so I wish I could attribute it, but it was a CEO or something. I was listening, like a clip or something, and she was saying how people you can't be expected to be great at everything, right? It really isn't balancing because you're not going to be able to be good at it at all. So you just have to like focus on whatever it is you want to focus on at that moment and do the best you can at that.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
And then take a trip to the produce section.
Yeah.
Go on a mental vacation. But that was a different episode. So, okay. So, awesome. So, let's see. I don't know where I want to go next. So, we're Divine Nine.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate you being here because our podcast, we brand it as a place for Black women navigating corporate spaces, but obviously this is the intersectionality of our lives as Black women who navigate corporate spaces. And so we have our brothers in the audience also and everything. And I guess and we're unapologetic about the talk that we have here, but I'm just curious, do you see yourself as an ally to Black and brown professionals, communities, et cetera? And if so, like, what does that look like? And what advice would you give to others who maybe would like to do the same?
I definitely see myself as an ally. And I think I recently, I'm not going to look at Whitney because I'm going to cry. Whitney and I and another person from our office had the real honor. We went down to Selma back in just last month. I was going to say back in, and it was only like 3 weeks ago.
we understand that, though. But these months are like dog years.
Yeah. So we went down there for the commemoration of Bloody Sunday and got to experience the weekend and the march, and we talked to foot soldiers, and just it was so unbelievably powerful and moving. And I don't think I ever expected for it to kind of resonate in the way it did, where I realized, because I will say, sometimes I think about it when you said, are you an ally? Like I've always felt that I want to lift up other voices and lift up voices who people look like me, people don't look like me, people experience like me. But I always thought like, well, what can I do? Like, what can I bring to the table? I mean, I don't have the same shared experiences as whomever, right?
Right.
Whatever it be, and people
don't have
the same.
That's real. I think a lot of people would feel that way.
Yeah. And I felt somewhat of I don't want to say a disadvantage, but something like where I felt like I don't want to be somebody who's standing up and saying something and trying to talk on behalf of other people if I don't understand it.
Right.
And I'm learning, right? And this is truly like a very powerful learning that it does not matter if you are united and you stand with other people and you are an ally, you don't have to have the same shared experiences.
That's true.
That really even more was solidified for me when I was down in Alabama, and just learning so much more than I ever learned in my life. Just having exposure for 3 straight days, and you just learn by seeing and talking to people who experience things firsthand. I think it really helped me understand too. It's okay to get up there and talk about things, and it's okay to share whatever it may be, or to be that person who's going to champion or push whatever information we can out to people who can be helpers, because that's what it's all about, and that you don't have to shy away from the fact that you may not have that same shared experience.
Amen. I love that you said that, because I think some people get it wrong because they try to connect and they try to, we just taped an episode about that and it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
But your team has described you as being down to earth, being a champion, being fair, and that's it's all about authenticity.
Exactly.
And we talk about authenticity a lot on this show.
Yeah.
So I can see, like, just when they said, she'll probably say, just call me Jen. I think that says a lot about who you are as a person and as a leader. And so as your Divine Nine partners, you now have 400 plus new partners to work with across the state. And we don't have all the answers either, by the way. Like, you know, but I think that's why dialogues and partnerships and ongoing conversations with folks like yourself is so important, because we can Rubik's Cube it and figure it out together.
I love it. I love it. And you have it from all different perspectives too, right? Which I think is just so important. My mom's father, my grandfather, came when he was about 12, maybe 13, from Brazil. And so, but he was the only person in his family who came here. So my entire family on that, you know, all of his brothers, sisters, and their whole family still live there. And the more that I've done this work, you know, having come to the state and in the work that I was doing, the more I've leaned on kind of their perspectives as well, because I think it's just so helpful for me to understand. Yeah. And it's always been just like family, but now it's like, now I start to really ask further questions, because I think it's really helpful for us to inform the work we do.
Cool. Yeah. Awesome. So before we get into the shenanigan adjacent portion of the program, I just want to ask you one last question. What would you like to leave us with, and the Divine Nine folks out here in our live audience, or the people in Cyberland who will come across this
later?
Like, what would you like to say to those people about, I don't know, about success, leadership, your role as AG, any like final word to all of us? What would you like us to know about you, your office, your mission?
Yeah,
it's totally up to you.
Probably that we just have so many amazing, dedicated people, whether it's our office, Department of Law and Public Safety, or the county prosecutors, and you name it, who are thinking all day long how to make life better in this state and how to make people feel more safe and secure and comfortable, and trying to do everything we can to break down kind of those barriers and build that trust. And we know that it takes a lot to do that, and that it can be drained really quickly, and trying to make sure that we overcome when it is drained by, you know, in an instant by something. So I think that's a really important piece. And then the other side of it, of just like how I think we can all be more helpful to one another, just generally, is to be honest, right? Like, I think that's really what it comes down to, is like, have those hard conversations, bring it right to us, right? We want to hear it so that we can figure it out. There's not of these niceties, or like, I heard you, one of the questions I think you asked the LG was about like having a conversation in the room or later or something like that. And I think you avoid all those second, third, fourth, fifth calls about, oh, well, we didn't talk about this or that. It's like, no, let's just talk about it, right?
It
may be awkward, it may be horrible, but let's get it done.
Let's talk about it.
And I think it's really important for us to do those.
I love that. I love that you said that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's true.
Now let's get into a little bit of fun before we let you go. I think you were here for the last segment when we did the Boss It or Toss It.
Yes.
You can get with this, or you can get with that edition.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to give you the opportunity to do it too.
Okay.
Games people play.
So the one that I think you were talking about is speaking up in the room versus working behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
You definitely speaking up in the room.
Yeah, I think it's important. Yeah, I mean, do you have to get some stuff done behind the scenes? 100%. But I think it's important, and it also helps other people feel like they can speak up if you're speaking up.
Now, this one is just for you.
Mm-hmm.
Letter of the law.
Uh-oh.
Or spirit of the law?
Go.
I'm a lawyer, so I'm going to say it depends. No, it's all, I think it's,
oh, come on, Jen.
I know. No, I mean, I think we have to look at the letter of the law a lot of times, but I think spirit. If I had to pick one, you want to understand what the spirit is of something and make sure that you're getting to the right answer.
Yeah.
I'm a spirit person.
Yeah. I think I'm a
not
spirit.
When it comes to airlines, but when it comes to the law. I'm sorry. Unless you want to sponsor my podcast,
then
Spirit Airlines all the way. Sorry.
My power suit versus statement dress.
Oh, well. I have, this is a matching suit, but most of my, trust me when I tell you, most of my stuff is like, what do I have? And all of it's from Kohl's. And I'm like, how do I like put these together? Does this look like a matching suit? So whatever looks put together. I'll try for it.
My answer is always whatever fits.
Yeah, well, that too.
Clean.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Early mornings or late night strategy sessions?
For this work, it's both.
It has to be a little bit. Email threads or quick phone calls?
Phone calls.
Yeah, definitely. Stop texting me an email.
Phone calls.
Group chat muted versus always responding?
Depends on the participants.
Depends on the person.
I have some family group chats that are muted.
That is such an honest answer. I love
that. Is an honest
answer. But for work, you got to get back to people. Yeah.
Coffee or tea? Neither.
Really? Diet Coke.
Are you a water?
Diet Coke.
Oh, I drink like 4 fountain sodas a day.
Wow.
I could do a whole podcast on fountain
sodas. That's a short girl thing, though. I think.
You think?
Yeah. Diet Coke lives on the
show. Dr. Pepper, Mountain Dew, I'll drink it all. But just nothing hot.
Nothing hot.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
We just learned something.
Did y'all know that about your aging?
Well, the people who work with me every day know it.
They're like, so we expect a case of Diet Coke in her office on Monday morning.
Yes.
Get
well,
right on that.
Former AG Plankin left me a case of Diet Coke.
Okay, so now this is all of our New Jersey.
You're going Jersey.
Yes, okay. New Jersey style.
Are we talking politics again?
Maybe.
Okay.
Pork roll or Taylor ham?
Oh, there is a right and wrong answer.
So I grew up in Wildwood, so it's pork roll there.
I
don't even know. I don't like it, so I just put cheese. Cheese. My answer's cheese.
Cheese. I love it. She said my answer's cheese.
Down the shore or going to the beach?
The beach.
Okay. Turnpike or Parkway?
Parkway. I think I could probably name all the exits if you could quiz me.
I love how she's answering these with such
confidence. You're in Monmouth County now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm along the
all tracks.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Jets or Giants?
She said Eagles. Okay, I'm here.
I know. I grew up
like, where are those Eagles?
E-A-G. So my dad was a Packers fan, so I'm kind of a Packers fan.
Oh, okay.
But I don't. Yeah.
Okay. You could say Yankees. It's okay.
I'm kidding. Let's go Mets.
Let's go Mets.
Croissants or bagels?
Bagels.
Absolutely.
Bagels. I'm a bagel girl.
Now here's one: Eastern goldfinch, which is the state bird for anyone who did not know, including myself, and the mythical Jersey Devil.
The real Jersey Devil?
The real Jersey Devil.
Hockey fan, anyone? Hockey fan.
I love it.
And finally, Central Jersey, real place or not a real place?
I think I live there. So I hope it's real.
Central Jersey is definitely a real place.
Yeah. I mean, look, where I grew up, I thought that LBI was North Jersey, so. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's all relative.
Yeah. It's all
like
north from there.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for playing along. And for coming and hanging out with us.
Thank you.
We have an open invitation.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for doing this. Everybody, give it up for our Attorney General, Jen Davenport.
Thank you.
And thank you so much. And thank you so much, D9 and Trenton, for letting us come out and do the Just Us with Liz and Carrie podcast live from D9 and Trenton. We'll see you next time.